And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. I don't know if you picked up on the little theme there. The first one was about our amazing King dying for us. Second one is looking to the King always. And this last song, basically the King can ordain. What He ordains, what He says is good. And we trust Him at all times. And then that last verse of that song, God ordains my steps, was the phrase, I will make my stand, which we have been talking about as Team Jesus. The concept that we're trying to get through our minds and our hearts completely is that we are His team. He has called us in Scripture. The team to strive together is the Greek word that we get athletics from, a group of people striving together as a team. We've been looking at taking up our cross, standing fast. Here's what we've been focused on the last couple of weeks as we work our way through the book of Philippians. So today we're going to be back in Philippians. Same chapter, same verse as the last 2 weeks, but this we will move on after this Sunday. But today it's going to be the cost of standing fast. Verse 1 here we talked about 3 weeks ago. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. We talk about, this is a military term. It's a term we still use in the military today. Stand fast. Hold your place. Do not give up this ground. And we looked at all the beautiful things God has done for us, what He has promised us, how good He is. Therefore, we should want to stand fast for Him, to share His truth, to be salt and light, to let others know how good He is. We're called through Scripture to stand fast in the person of Jesus Christ, that personal relationship you have with Him. Stand fast in the power of the gospel to share the gospel so that others too can be saved. To stand fast in the Word of God that it is true, it is good, it's all, everything we need in this life. Stand fast as the church, a faithful church. 7 churches listed in Scripture. Only 2 of them God did not have a problem with. The other 5 He told to repent and fix all their issues. But only 2 didn't have a problem. One was the persecuted church and the other was the faithful church that had kept the Word. That is what we strive to be here today, is the faithful church. Stand fast as the church, not forsaking the assembling together to be here as a team. Stand fast in the confession of Christ and what we share, what we believe in Christ, we must live. We don't want to just be speakers of the Word, only hearers of the Word and not doing the Word and only speaking it but not walking it. Stand fast in the confession of Christ. Stand fast in the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us. If we don't stand fast in these evil days as the church, then who will? We talked about in the last 2 weeks that flood of darkness that is sweeping across the world, sweeping everyone with sin, darkness, and sweeping them right into the judgment of God and eventually into hell. And God sticks His people in the midst of that flood water, in the midst of that darkness, to stand fast, to say there's safety here, there's refuge in Christ, you can be forgiven of your sin, come to Jesus Christ. We are to stand in that flood of evil. Not always easy. And we looked at the lighthouses and how they stand in those amazing waves. And go to the next slide, Levi. And there's this one beautiful picture. It's so perfect to describe Jesus Christ. As the psalmist wrote, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. You see that man standing in the doorway and that tower representing Jesus Christ. We can stand in the midst of this flood of darkness, of sin. And we can stand in Christ and we can be there to help people come out of that flood and be saved, to be born again. And this is what standing fast as the church means. As the church and as individuals when we're out there in the world. Because the Bible tells us towards the end things will get worse and worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Towards the end, this is how people are going to become. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. We've been talking about that, especially because of this month being called Pride Month. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They do not want anything of God. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. We see that greatly in the world. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. We talked about what haughty is. It's taking pride to the next level of arrogance and superiority. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now let me tell you something that's kind of scary. Context of these verses, what group of people is this talking about? Church. Think about that. In the last days, the church will become so corrupt, people are not going to want to hear this anymore. They'll want to be entertained when they come to church. They'll want programs to serve their needs, but they don't come to church to serve. They don't come to church to be equipped, to be taught as disciples. What can the church do for me? Remember the old saying our president back in the 60s, Kennedy said, do not ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We should apply that back to the church because we are here to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is not about us, but people want to make it about them. People want pastors to tickle their ears and tell them how good they are and that everything's going to be good and God just wants to bless you and make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us to stand fast in the darkness. And there's a cost to standing fast, which we're going to cover today. But this is what church people are going to be like. And today we see it on the rise. There's corrupt churches, there's compromising churches, and there's what we call progressive Christianity, where they are calling themselves Christians, but they don't believe anything in this, and they do the exact opposite of what this says. So if this is the way it's going to be towards the end inside churches, that's how people are going to be, how bad is it going to be on the outside of those churches? There's three things I'm supposed to do as a pastor. I'm to convince you of the truth of it. I'm to rebuke you when you go against it. And I'm to encourage you at the same time. Three things I'm supposed to do. And we like to be encouraging, but today it's going to be kind of convincing of something that's not real exciting or encouraging towards the end, what we'll be facing as the church. And it's going to be things are going to get bad. They're not going to get better. And this has all been part of the great plan of Satan that the Bible has foretold us about. And Satan is, we've been focusing on, Satan is using two men in particular to bring about his overall plan that the Bible has always warned us about. The plan that leads to Revelation 13, the one world government under the Antichrist, which is Satan, empowered by Satan himself. And we've been looking at these two men. And World Economic Forum. And we went more into them last week, but I've talked about them a couple different times. And every sermon that I've talked about these guys has been yanked off of YouTube. The one last week is still there. Maybe it'll slide through the cracks. I don't know. But almost 3 years ago, Klaus Schwab and what's his name? Noah. My mind just went blank. Yeah. The young guys is his right-hand man. And they're pushing this World Economic Forum plan, this great reset, this global agenda. And here, we talked about last week, they're becoming so prideful, so arrogant, that they think they can rewrite Scripture and make it better and make it correct. Well, 3 years ago, right after the pandemic hit, they put out a video. And this video was their prediction of what they want to do, their plan. I showed this before, but I want you to view it one more time. Go ahead. Thank you. Okay, so this is the World Economic Forum, and they put this video out just a couple months after the pandemic hit in 2020, saying that the pandemic gave them the best chance, opportunity, to reset the world. They want to have it done by 2030. And they have been, but, well, we've also been saying this on Sunday nights, and they, you would not believe all the stuff they're doing. This agenda is rolling. Now, let's real quick review what that little video, the agenda there. Prediction number one, you'll own nothing, but will be happy. Let that sink in. You'll rent everything, right? That's what it said. So, someone owns something if you're renting from them. But if everyone in the world won't own anything, who owns it? They do, the elites. They're going to own everything. We're going to be their little drones. That's what they're, that's again on Sunday nights. We're listening to these men's very mouths of what their plans are. People are just not, are not listening. They put videos to show what they're going to do, and then people are surprised when it happens. You should hear what these men are doing, and they are the global elite. It's not a conspiracy theory. They've written books. They give speeches. It's out there, and they're doing it. And part of it is basically to get to a socialist agenda for the whole world based on Marxist principles. They own everything and you're the working class. What? Yeah, serfs. But they already talk about themselves being the masters of the world. Now, master, old terminology for master is lord. That's what lord means, master owner. They're calling themselves going to be the lords of the earth. Well, let me tell you, there's only one lord. And that's Jesus Christ. But anyway, so you'll own nothing and be happy. Prediction number two, U.S. will no longer be a superpower. They said this 3 years ago. In place of the United States lead in the world, there'll be a nation, a handful of nations. The Bible always says that there'll be a coalition of nations, ten kings in a new world order. And the U.S. is not in biblical prophecy, which we've always found hard to explain as theologians, is that the greatest superpower in human history is not mentioned in Scripture. And we see with our president today, taking America down out of superpower status. People do not respect us. Our economy is probably going to collapse. We're not heading in a good direction. And they said that we wouldn't be a superpower 3 years ago. And it's starting to happen. Prediction number three, you won't die waiting for an organ. They're going to print you one. If you've also been on Sunday nights, we've been talking about the technology that they're using. They do believe Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, Elon Musk, Zuckerberg, all these people are talking about how they believe they're going to be the last generation that, well, the first generation that won't die. They actually believe this science and the AI and all this sort of stuff that they can, in reversing DNA, the CRISPR technology and DNA, that we can reverse aging and end death. You see, Satan has his plan. God has his plan. And God's promised for those who follow God's plan eternal life. Satan's got to counterfeit it. So here's the counterfeit. Don't worry about death. We're going to take care of you. Now, this is probably prediction number four. It's probably the most evil. You'll eat less meat. I mean, that is just evil. How expensive has meat gotten? Are you eating less meat now than you used to? Or paying at least a lot more for it? They want to control every aspect. This is how crazy they are as they see themselves as the masters of the world. We're just too dumb to know what's good for us. They're the elites. They're the ones that know best. And they're going to tell us what to eat. I'm sorry. No one has told me what to eat since I left home. Well, Wendy does, but that doesn't count. She's my wife. Yeah. So it's just crazy. They want to control everything. Mass migration, no national borders. Again, I've shown videos on that. That's all UN generated. They want to get rid of borders. They want to get rid of nations because they don't want people being patriotic. They want people to be global citizens so they can institute their global governance and they become the masters of the world. Again, it's not conspiracy. It's all in black and white. It's all out there. Make fossil fuels history. Fossil fuels give countries and individuals freedom. But when you're dependent on the electrical grid, electric cars, control a flow of people. Life in outer space, Star Trek, that's just a shiny object to, I call it the Star Trek little dream utopia. That, hey, we'll be sailing through the universe like Star Trek and all that sort of stuff. But the one we want to focus on today, the reason I showed that video again was the Western values. They said they're going to break Western values. Now, Western values are what we have here in America, Europe, Australia, things, the Western, you know, Judeo-Christian values, basically. They're going to push those to the breaking point. Not just the Judeo-Christian values that we find in Scripture, but patriotism. The love of freedom and liberty. When did patriotism of one's nation become a bad thing? Yeah. Yeah, you're selfish if you believe in borders in your nation. You're patriotic. You're mean. You must be a racist. The standing for wanting freedom is a bad thing? It's a war on children, on family, marriage, the gospel, and the Word of God. To dismantle the values that stand in the way of a one-world government. You see, especially, I'll say, the American patriot. And I'm not just saying Christians, because not a lot of American patriots that are conservative but not believers in Christ. But we're a thorn in their side. At least half the nation is. Because we want liberty. We want freedom. We don't want someone telling us what to eat. We want to be able to raise our children in what we believe and how to raise them. And not have some government or some public school official telling us that our kids are theirs. Begin this war on all these Western values that we hold dear. It's all part of the agenda. COVID-19, the Great Reset. We've talked about this multiple times. Again, every time I've mentioned this, YouTube has yanked my videos off because of misinformation. But it's his book. I just talk about what's written in his book. Seems like they don't want people to know about this. Next slide, Levi. Here's the overall blueprint of their plan, very in-depth of all the changes they want to make to your life, to your nation, by 2030. Have it all implemented. It's an agenda to undermine national governments and to create a worldwide government. Satan's plan that's been told to us in the book of Revelation, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Daniel. Next slide. Here's a close-up to some of those circle outer issues, what they're seeking to do. And like the one we talked about last week was the LGBT movement, the inclusion. Now, why do they have that in there? And their agenda to create this global governance, and you can see the global governance on the far side. Global governance in the COVID-19. You can see the climate change. See all these things in there that they want to use to bring about their world reset. And one of them is the LGBTQ movement. What we know today is pride. Pride month, right? The pride agenda. Because this is one of the greatest tools to undermine Western Judeo-Christian values. Oh, there's so much I could say on this, and there's so much more, but I have a certain amount of time. But I'm curious, you know, of all the great agendas out there, the great things we celebrate, like Memorial Day, remembering all those who have laid their lives down, made the ultimate sacrifice for our country, for freedom. Veterans Day, where we honor those who have served in the military, laid it on the line for freedom. Thanksgiving, all these great holidays, but they're only one day holiday. Even Jesus Christ only gets 2 days a year, Christmas and Easter, right? And they try to hijack those with Santa Claus, and I have some little ones in here, and Santa Claus is a good guy. Don't get me wrong. People want to focus more on Santa Claus than on Jesus. And the Easter Bunny and things like that. But this agenda gets a month. A month. Again, we don't hate them. I talked about this last week. We do not hate these people. We love them more than anybody else. Because we're willing to take their hate to share with them the truth of God's Word. If we hated them, we wouldn't share. We'd just, hey, yeah, go do your lifestyle. God's good with it. And watch them get judged one day. But no, we love them. So we'll take the hit. We'll take their hate so they can hear the truth. But what you must understand, and the reason I am bringing this back up today, is that this agenda is going to keep rolling. There is pushback against this agenda. We've seen it with the Bud Light controversy. We saw it with Dodger Stadiums. There are people standing up, and we need to stand up against this. That's what we're told, to stand up against these agendas. Even the World Economic Forum global agenda. We need to resist. We need to call it out so people can hear the truth. Are we going to stop these agendas? No. But we still resist them, nonetheless. And the reason I bring this up is as we stand against these agendas, there's going to be a cost. But I want you to understand something about these agendas. Even though they get pushback, and it's good that we're seeing it, and they may fall back from their position of pushing it on us, but that the agenda keeps rolling. Even though it looks like we've maybe won a victory. Let me show you a good example here. Go to the next. Just listen. Go ahead.
As we celebrate Pride and the progress we've made over these past years, there's still work to be done. So to those of you out there who are still working against equal rights, we have a message for you.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect.
Okay. I'm gonna play a little bit more, but hold on. This is a message to a certain group of people who think that the LGBTQ lifestyle is sinful. So what group of people do you think this message is to? To Bible-believing Christians. Okay? Just wanted to make that point. Listen to what they're singing about.
But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked? Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. You can keep him from disco, warn about San Francisco. Make him wear pleated pants, we don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair.
I stopped it there. It goes on for about 5 minutes. And about 100 men join in this song, "We'll Convert Your Children." Again, they always tell us what they're going to do. Nope. Didn't say go yet. Go back. Go back. Hit forward.
Back.
Nope. Go back. Go back, Levi. Listen to me, Levi. Go back. Now hit forward.
Back.
When it stops, don't touch.
But don't you're touch. Just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happen bit by bit, quietly and subtly. And you will barely notice it. You can keep him from disco, warn about San Francisco. Make him wear pleated pants, we don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair.
Okay, don't touch it. Leave it right there. Okay. Again, they always tell us what they're going to do. This video came out two and a half years ago. And when they put it, this is the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir. And they put it out, there was uproar. There were people mad. They pulled the video. I don't know if it's back out there, but as soon as it came out, I grabbed it and downloaded it to, because things like this disappear and I want people to know. They're after children. Especially Christian children. Followers of Christ. Jesus warned, do not offend one of these little ones. They tell us what they're going to do, but they pulled this back and people, hey, yeah, we put them in their place. But wait a minute, 2.5 years ago, they were saying, we're going to convert your children. Now, they pulled the video and they pulled back and people, all right, we put them back. Let me read just a small list of what's happened in the last 2 years. Things that have never happened, but now are happening in the last 2 years. Children, drag queen hour. Did you ever hear about that 3-4 years ago? Drag queen shows for children where men are dancing in front of children. Did you ever hear about that? Gender transitions for children, changing them completely, putting them on all these drugs that they use for rapists when they medically castrate people. Public school videos of children dancing in rainbow pride colors. Google that and watch how many public schools. You see, they removed the video because it was too in our face. And they pulled back, but the agenda kept rolling. And that's what we have to understand. We're going to resist, and we're going to stand up, and we're going to stand for the truth. But you understand, the agenda keeps rolling. You can't let your guard down. You can't think that we've won. Satan's plan is going to happen. Revelation chapter 13 is going to happen. Now, the elitists think it's their plan. They're calling it the Great Reset or Agenda 2030, but it's just Satan using them, and this is part of the plan to corrupt. Do you know what they're saying? We're going to convert your children. Do you know what they're actually saying? We're going to turn your children against God. We're going to tell your children not to believe the Word of God. That's what they're saying. Again, we don't hate the homosexual or anybody in that movement. But I do hate what they're trying to do when it comes to the kids. I'll be the first one, if a homosexual and I have had done, well, you know, I have a right to be a homosexual. Yeah, God's given you that right. You can do whatever you want. Doesn't mean there won't be consequences. You won't be held accountable. But I can hate what they do because it destroys people. Turns them against God and His Word. It's overall part of Satan's plan, which is a war on God. Now we go. All right. War on God. That's what they're doing. Everything God has defined, what children are to be, marriage, families are supposed to be, the gospel, and the Word of God that now they think AI needs to correct and make better. It's all war on God. They don't want you to believe the Word of God. It's amazing. I think that's what Satan did with Eve, wasn't it? Did God really say? Don't believe that. Well, I got to start rocking and rolling here. Talking too much review. All right, so this war on God is led by these two men, right? Go to the next slide, Levi. So, again, we've talked about this before. I can't believe I'm still in review. I talk too much. The world, God designed to be in relationship with Him. Satan wanted it to be in relationship basically to Him. He wanted to be God. He couldn't be God. He got mad. So he couldn't overcome God. So he attacks humanity, gets them to fall from God, fall from grace, fall into sin, and it, which eventually is going to lead to a righteous God judging all sinners and putting them in hellfire. But Christ came and made His stand for the lost, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's where the church stands right there. Standing fast. Click. That is where we're called to stand fast and help people get back into relationship with God. But there will be a cost to this. Let me show you the cost. From an article, excuse me, SciPost, Christian nationalism and biblical literalism independently predict conspiracy thinking study finds. They've been studying these people who actually believe in the Bible, and it's not good. Now, Christian nationalism, basically, as we would say, someone asked, are you a Christian national? Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm proud of my country. I'm a patriot. So you're a Christian nationalist. But in reference, that's not a person who's just a believer in Christ and who's patriotic with their country. No, you're a white supremacist, and you're a hater. That's what their definition is. And I've served my country for many years. I'm a patriot. I love my country for what it's supposed to represent. I don't like what it's become now. But I'm not a white supremacist. But I'm proud of my country, and I'm a Christian, so I'm a Christian nationalist. But that's not the big part. The big part is the biblical literalism. Let me show you in the post. Next slide, Levi. Biblical literalism refers to an approach to interpreting religious texts such as the Bible in a strictly literal, word-for-word manner. It involves the belief that the Bible is an accurate, accurate historical and scientific account, and every passage should be understood as directly and precisely true. Amen and amen. And I do a whole course on how I can prove that this Bible is the Word of God. True and true that God authored this. I can show you proof to people that man couldn't have authored the book. They wrote it as God moved holy men, but it was God who authored it. And I do believe it's true. I do believe it literally. I do believe it's full of tons of science. Not scientific nonsense as they attack it. It's full of great stuff. Amazing stuff. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's why we teach it verse by verse, word by word. They think that's bad. Let's go on. Next slide, Levi. Furthermore, the study suggests that biblical literalism plays a role in shaping conspiracy thinking. See, if you're that dumb to believe that Bible is really true, then you have the mind that'll believe conspiracies. Those who adhere to literal interpretation of the Bible were more likely to adopt conspiracy thinking. And biblical literalism was found to amplify the effect of Christian nationalism, you white supremacist, on conspiracy thinking. This suggests that the elevation of religious authority over the scientific sources, trust the science, right? Now, I don't like religious authority because I hate religion. You guys know that. I'll say biblical authority over your bad, fake science any day. You want good science that supports what God has done? Great. If you want bad science? Yeah, I'll stand against biblical authority over that. And an anti-elitist sentiment. Well, I'm sorry, I've been talking about the global elites today, haven't I? I proved their point this morning. Except for the global elites are putting out speeches and books saying everything I've told you this morning. You see, this article, this study, is to make us look bad and dangerous because we believe the Bible literally and we can go be fed into all the conspiracies And that's not good. They go on in the article to say how we were dangerous to the COVID pandemic because we were anti-vax and things like that. Conspiracy nut jobs, right? So here's the final sentence in the study. Also, we can't stop with diagnosing the problem. We can't just realize, hey, these people are dangerous. We need to think deeply about how Christian nationalists and biblical literalists might become less susceptible. Re-education? Does that sound like what they're thinking? You see, they say, we can't just see that this is a problem. We have to deal with the problem somehow. We're the problem. They're going to have to deal with us somehow. You see, standing up for the truth is going to get people to look at you in a way that's not good. And that's what we must understand, believer. You disciple of Jesus Christ. What will their efforts be to re-educate us? Basically, what they want is us not to believe this, just like the children. We got to figure out how to stop them from believing in this so they stop believing in conspiracy theories so we can do what we want. And nobody knows. Oh, are we going to get the FBI on our door? Christians already have in the United States. Are we going to get the IRS? You know, Paul stood fast in his day. You know, he tells us to stand fast. Well, he never told people to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. That's a sign of a good leader. I want to take a look at an example of Paul standing fast and the cost there, because it's going to connect to what I'm going to share today, and then I'll be done. And hopefully I can get done on time. Acts 26. Paul was almost killed by the Jews, and the Romans actually saved him from the Jews and put him into protective custody under arrest. And now the Jews are accusing Paul before King Agrippa, wanting King Agrippa to really hand Paul back to them so they can kill Paul, because Paul has betrayed them. Paul has become a believer in Jesus Christ. Paul gets his chance to speak before King Agrippa and give his side of the story. And here it is, verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews." Verse 22. "Therefore, having obtained help from God, this day I stand, witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said." And what is he talking about? The Old Testament, the Scriptures, the Bible. Talking about what prophets and Moses said would come, that being Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and would proclaim light. He is the light of the world to those in that flood of darkness we've been talking about, to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles alike. He was talking about the gospel. He was talking about Jesus Christ before King Agrippa. I stand in Jesus Christ. I stand in the power of the gospel. How is Paul viewed for this? Verse 24. "And now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning has driven you mad.'" "You're crazy. You're a conspiracy nut job. You see how Paul was viewed? Paul says, "No, I speak to you truth and reason." Verse 26. "For the king, before whom I am also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escape his attention, since this thing was done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian," which was meaning a follower of Christ back in that day. Today, the word has lost its meaning. But Paul stands for the gospel. almost persuades King Agrippa to become a follower of Christ. Look what Paul says. And Paul said, verse 29, Paul said, I would to God that not only you become a believer, but also all who hear me, including his fellow Jews. He was willing to die so they could hear the truth. But also for all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I, a believer in Jesus Christ, except for these chains. He was a prisoner at this moment, just as he was a prisoner when he wrote the book of Philippians. He said, I'm willing to stand. I'm willing to die if people will become believers. Paul just wanted to share the truth of the gospel. And for that, people persecuted him, and his own people persecuted him. And others thought he was mad to believe that Bible stuff. Philippians 4:1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. To do this like Paul, people are going to think bad of you. Let me show you. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Understand, as we stand in this world against these agendas, we try to pull people out of the darkness and the deception of the sin and the lies. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be thought bad of. But you're not going to be given the honor of a follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not being persecuted because you're a good disciple of Jesus Christ. You're not going to be given the honor that your suffering has any honor to it. Understand this, Christian. They're going to accuse us because we are standing for the truth, but they're not going to give you that recognition. They're going to give you falsely. They're going to give you evil falsely, put it that way. They're going to call you bigots, haters, intolerant, unloving people, bad followers of Jesus Christ, because Jesus just loved everybody, and you're not. They're going to call you delusional. They're going to call you conspiracy nut jobs. They're going to say you're dangerous to society. They're going to persecute you, not for your witness. They're not going to do that. They're not going to give you the credit for that. They're going to accuse you falsely. Be ready for that. To be ready to be called all these terrible things that you are not. But that's how they're going to treat you. You're going to have to accept it. But here's some good stuff. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when this happens to you. For great is your reward in heaven. Christ sees everything that happens to you. And you stand fast for Him. He's got a reward. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. These agendas are coming. They're continuing to come. We're going to stand fast. We're going to share the truth. But there's a cost to it. But it's worth it, folks. It's worth it if when lost people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and it'll be worth it when we stand before our Lord. All of us are going to have to make a choice. These agendas, even though there's pushback, the agendas are going to continue to move forward. There's coming a day when each one of you is going to have to make a choice. Will you stand for Jesus Christ or will you fall back? Will you compromise? You need to be mentally and physically prepared. The world is changing. America is changing. Christianity is no longer looked on with any sort of respect. Pastors used to be in the top 10% of the most respected people in a town. We don't even make the top 100 anymore. It's okay. You must be mentally and physically prepared, but most you must be spiritually prepared. Faith, your faith needs to be strong. You need to be in Christ. You need to be standing with fellow believers who will help you and encourage you. Times are coming. It's not going to get better, folks. I know that's what a lot of people want to hear, and I know you don't. Most of you don't want to hear that. You want to hear the truth. The truth is, it's going to get worse and worse. And that means it's going to get darker and darker. The flood's going to get bigger and bigger. But we are standing in Christ, our strong tower. And we will continue to stand strong until He takes us home. And then we can go before Him unashamed, as the Scriptures say. Do not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We will go unashamed. And I pray for all of you weekly, and I pray that all of you one day will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the goal. Come on up, team. We'll sing our last song. We'll be over a few minutes, but you guys know that's normal. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for these last 3 weeks of talking about this verse of standing fast. What it means, why we need to do it, and the cost. But Lord, You paid a greater cost. You stood in the gap. You stood for us, and You died for us. And You were called all manner of evil for doing this. So if You can do that for us, help us to be able to do that for You. And when we're charged falsely for doing what is right, let us just be able to hold on to You. Let You be our defense. Let us take refuge in You, our strong tower. Lord, help us to be a faithful church. Help us to be faithful disciples. Help us to stand fast in love, not in anger, not in hatred, and love those who hate us. Stand strong in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, our spouses. Stand strong with our neighbors. Stand fast and strong at school, at work, to show You. To show people that there's a better way. There's something much better in this world than the world itself. And that's Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask You to help us to do that. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand up for this last song real quick. Here we go.
For the
Jesus, we are about to break onto the playing field of the world. We are His team. We are the King's team. Do you understand that? Jesus is the King. He has called us to be His people. We are to strive together. Athletics, we are His team. Let's conduct ourselves as such. Be salt and light. Love people. Show them the joy of Christ. We all should have the joy of Christ. And share Christ with people. Be bold. Be courageous. He has not given us a spirit of fear. And when the flood seems overwhelming, take refuge in our strong tower. Put on the full armor of God and make your stand in that evil day. And do all to stand. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's break out of here on the count of three, Team Jesus. One, two, three, break. Let's go.